So the message that God has given me, and this is be the third time I shared this, I'm doing for a Glow, and this is in Stevensville this coming Friday, and I'm honing it each time. The message is so clear. I started reading, because I retired this year, the book of Genesis. I'm reading all the way through the Bible. I wake up in the morning, my wife goes to work, I say, goodbye, honey. I go into my room, and I'm reading the entire Bible. I haven't done this since 1974. I'm not sure if you all think back. Have you ever done that? Really have done that before. So I picture myself now in kindergarten. And I started with Genesis chapter 1, and I'm letting the Holy Spirit be my teacher. And right now, I just finished the book of Esther. Now, I had to clip Esther out of here tonight because I was going through this and think, okay, I know what I did, but I only want to keep this an hour, including what I'm saying right now. So I started doing chopping and chopping and chopping. I had to take Esther out. Okay, but again, the gist of it is this. God makes promises that he never breaks. He never has broken a promise. Never, ever has he broken a promise. Now, here's the problem. We do. Everything I read from Genesis, I started getting really mad when I got into Deuteronomy and Leviticus, and then I got into, Judges. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, they saw the power of God. They saw things that we haven't even seen. And so the next generation, each generation after that, drifted further and further from the Lord. And so with that said, I scratched my head and said, Lord, why do you put up with us? Because we don't keep our promises. There's only a couple people that I look as role models, and you're going to see them tonight, and hopefully it'll play, and if not, I can tell you about them. One is Joseph, and the other one's David. Now, David did a big sin, as you know, but he was a man after God's own heart. So with that said, we're going to get started. My wife's going to read, and she read this to me the other day, and I asked her, will you start with this tonight? So she's going to read something that King David wrote a long time ago, about 3,100 years ago. And right now, we're going to start. And this has already been lifted up. Father, I praise and thank you for this church. I thank you, Father. This is the church that I want everyone to go to. This is the church that people listen to your Holy Spirit. Father, I come here, Father, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's not anybody here. Pastor Barbara is a faithful, faithful person. All her life, she's listened to you. She only says what you say. Father, we thank you for her. Thank you for her faithfulness of coming here and being here all these years. Father, thank you for the people that come here, for all the people that do the technical work, all the people that come here and do everything you call them to do, because this is a functional church. There are teachers here. There's a preacher here. There are prophets here. Everything that's in 1 Corinthians, Father, chapter 12, all the offices are right here. This is a functional church. Thank you, Father, as Randy and Barbara said today. And they pray that all the churches in Dover will be online, Father. Because, again, we're at the end. And your truth goes out. So, Father, today, let us all go out of here knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt, you don't break your promises. And thank you, Father, that tonight, this video, all the videos and everything will play. And if they don't, you don't want them to play. We just thank you, Father, in this service in Jesus' name. Marianne?
I got it.
Good girl.
Okay, I'm reading from Psalm 2. I read through Proverbs, and now I'm reading Psalms. Neil's done the whole Bible, but I'm working, but I'm a little bit behind him. But anyhow, this was Psalm 2. We talked about it the other morning. The Messiah's triumphant kingdom. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The king of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break the bonds into pieces and cast away the cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with the rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all those who put their trust in him.
Marianne just mentioned a word at the very end, and that is trust. There is no way in this world that I could cover everything that I want to cover. So here's what I have. Everybody, if you don't have one of these, see Chris in the back. What you have in front of you is all of the information that I put together on the seven feasts of God. There is no way I can cover everything tonight. But you have it with you. You also have in the front, if you open this up to the first page, you have the Shema, which I'm going to start with tonight. I'm not sure if you knew this, but the Shema is a requirement that every Jew has to start their day saying, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kabot, Malkuto, Leolam Vaed. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. Blessed be the name of his glorious kingdom forever and ever. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. They had to do this twice a day. This is a requirement. This was a requirement starting with Moses, which we're going to see tonight. Now, my first wife, Barbara knew her. Her name was Cindy. Cindy came here. We were invited to come to this church in 1992. Barbara had a friend named Lou Robinson, and my entire church came here. Now, I was a brand new Christian. I'd never seen anything like this. This church was packed that night, and we never had anybody prophesy over us, ever. And Barbara prophesied over Cindy and myself. I've never fallen out in the Spirit, ever. I've never even seen that before. We're on the ground, and Barbara said that Neil and Cindy, you two are going to bring the gospel to the whole world. I'm thinking, what? Everything she said, as you know, happened. My wife started listening to this Jewish man named Paul Wilbur. She played the songs and danced throughout the house every day. Anyhow, we were invited to speak at Messiah College. I was invited. I was an author. And Paul Wilbur was singing that same weekend at Messiah College. And I asked, can my wife meet Paul before we leave? Okay, let's keep on going with this Paul Wilbur story. So my wife, Cindy, had cancer. And she was getting sick at the time. And she said, Neil, we got to go home. And I said, so Cindy, you can't stay just a little bit longer. She was really sick. So we had to drive from Pennsylvania all the way back to Maryland. She missed seeing Paul Wilbur. In 2010, I was invited to go to a Messianic meeting up in Baltimore. Paul Wilbur was the singer. So during the break, I'm looking in the back of the room, and there he was standing by himself. And this is how God works. I went to Paul Wilbur and said, Mr. Wilbur, I'd like for you to meet your favorite fan. And I handed him a book that about my wife that I wrote about her. And he took it home and read it. He never met her in person. God's plans are not our plans. Okay, guys, I'm going to stand back here, if that's okay, and be the teacher from the back of the room. Let me just tell you, as a teacher, I never stood up front. I taught them a little bit. I sat with my children. So I haven't taught now because I retired this year after 45 years at Annapolis High School. This is my first class. So if that's okay, I'm going to sit with Brother Chris back here, and we'll get this thing working, okay? So again, thank you all for coming tonight. Okay, so this is part one. It's called God's Promises to His Promised People. Hi, Chris. So we did the Shema. And as I said, O hear, O Israel, The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom forever and forever. All right, Chris. Now, again, God makes promises. He never breaks them. He never breaks them. Now, for those of you that are brand new Christians, and you may be hearing this for the first time, I've been a Christian for a long time. Everything I've ever read in the Bible and everything I've ever asked God, he's been faithful. So this is the message tonight. Thank you, Lord. Your promises. Okay, Chris, that's the earth. This is from Google Earth. Now we're going to zoom down. Okay, so I'm not sure how many people here have ever gone on a trip, but Marianne and I were in Israel a few years ago. I want to go back. Okay, so we're looking down from space at the Middle East. Okay, we're going to zoom down even closer. Go ahead, Chris. Okay, you're looking at a map without any lines on it. There's right here, that's good, a little circle. Now we're going to zoom down even closer to that circle. That's Mount Moriah. Anybody ever hear that word before? Okay, something happened at Mount Moriah and changed everything we do today. This video right here will take us from this place right here. Go ahead, Chris, click that. This is a place called Ur. Now, Ur is just two letters. Anybody know who was born there? Yes, Abraham. Abraham was born there. Now, Abraham was told by God that I want you to move. I want you to leave your land. I want you to go to the land that I'm going to show you. Marianne, we don't have to videotape that tonight. Okay. Now, go ahead, Chris. Okay, the next place Abraham and his family went was called Canaan. Okay, the land of Canaan, this is where God led him. And he was there with his sons for a long time. The journey ended at a place called Egypt. Now, I know it's on the video, so I'm going to show you, at least tell you, because I can't play it. This video is really, really good. Abraham was asked to do one of the most difficult things anybody's ever been asked to do. He was an old man at the time. His whole life, as you know, he was standing on one promise of God. He never saw it come to fruition. His wife was also told that she was going to have a child. And they went from the land of Ur, all the way in Babylon, all the way to Canaan, and they were told they were going to have a child. It didn't happen. So one day Sarah went to her husband, well, maybe it wasn't through me, maybe it's my handmaiden, Hagar. So Hagar had a child named Ishmael. That wasn't the child that God had promised them. Sarah had a child. Sarah's child name was what? Very good. I like that pronunciation. Isaac. Abraham was told he had the child that God promised him to take your child and go to the land where I have shown you and make him a sacrifice on top of a mountain called Moriah. Now today, anybody know the name of the town that's built right there in Moriah, exactly where he took his son to sacrifice him? To Jerusalem. Do you know it's located right there in the spot where he placed his son down? The temple. Can you imagine? People would read Genesis for the first time, and I don't recommend anybody doing what I just did, because I wasn't a Christian when I first started reading the Bible. And I got angry. Then I'm thinking, boy, if I was a woman, I'd really be angry. How those men treated women in the Old Testament? Oh my goodness gracious. But again, Abraham was faithful. He took his son. And you know the story. God stopped him. I'm going because the video is really good. One of these days you got to watch that. But he stopped him. And he said, no, you are faithful. I'm going to make you a promise. I'm going to make you a promise that that land right there at Canaan is going to be for your family forever and forever. That land right there. I will never break my promise. I'm going to make you a promise that your descendants through Isaac are going to outnumber the sands on a beach, the stars in the sky. that child. So anyhow, God kept his promise, didn't he? See, the whole thing is from that point on to the end of the Bible goes back to that promise. That's what the promise is about, what God made to Abraham. This is the Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a latter-day feast. There are seven feasts in the Bible. Now, I did give you a paper that covers all the feasts. So anyhow, if the PowerPoint doesn't work, you can read. Okay? And you can take that home for homework. You crank up the sound on this one. Part two, God's promises to his promised people. Go ahead, Chris. Deuteronomy 8:1. If you fully obey the Lord your God by keeping all the commandments I am giving you today, the Lord your God will exalt you above all the nations of the world. Deuteronomy, and by the way, the person saying this thousands of years ago, to, and again, remember I said sans? The videos are gone, but guys, right now there's about 4 million Jews. That's only in a period of 400 years. There were 70 descendants of Abraham that returned to Egypt. This is 400 years later when Moses is talking to the entire congregation. This is Moses saying this in Deuteronomy. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord. This is all they had to do. That is it. You just heard the Ten Commandments. That's what you're called to do. I mean, every human being that's ever lived. The promises of God are for everyone. Just not for Abraham's descendants. Everyone. Correct? Okay. Now, if you experience all these blessings, guys, and again, this is what we try our best to do. You might scratch your head, why did this happen? I am obedient to the Lord. Okay? So we'll talk about that in a moment. Go ahead, Chris. Thank you, Chris. The greatest commandment underlies a loving relationship with God is absolutely essential for God's people. Loving others is meaningless if a loving relationship with God is not set and nurtured first. Only when we love, only then will we love others. Okay? Will we truly love others? You know, the majority of the people in the world, including myself for a long time, I love my mother. I call my mother every day. I just talked to my mother before I came here on the phone. But the hard part is the others, not my mother's. Right? The people in the world. But you know, it happened when I fully reorganized my life. And see, here's the thing. You can't look into my heart. I can't look into Barbara's heart, but I trust you, Barbara, because I know her. Certain people I know, I don't know most of you in here, but I believe those of you going to this church hear the truth. There's only one person that can look into my heart. It uses this. Only one entity in the universe that knows whether I'm living my life according to his rules or my rules. For most of my life, I lived according to my rules, right? See, I rearranged everything a few years back because I got broken. I'm not sure all of you in here have gone through roller coasters. The older you are, you go through those things, right? And so I was broken, and I gave myself over to the Lord, and I made him first. Now, saying it is one thing. Doing it's another. I made all of you second. I'm last. Guess what? Total peace. No matter whether this PowerPoint's going to work or so on, God's in control. I'm not doing this for me. I'm not doing this for money. I'm doing this for the Lord, correct? And he's looking at my heart and the rest of my life. So guys, again, this is just a little bit. Everything I'm doing as a teacher is a visual, because you'll get out of here thinking, is God looking at my heart? Yes, he is. Absolutely. Okay, Chris. These are the blessings that God promised. Moses stood there and read them all off. Read these to every one of those millions of people that were descendants of Abraham. He said, these are the blessings that you will receive. I'm not going to read them to you because they're in your booklet. I put them in there. So all of you got a copy of this. All right. And let me return this back to the owner. There you are. Okay, Chris. Now, here's another thing. My favorite chapter of the Bible is Psalm 91. Psalm 91, again, was written by David about 3,100 years ago. And in that, and I memorized, I'm sure some of you have too, it's because we're covered. There's a covering over us, no matter where we go. So I need a visual. So those of you that are covered by God's promises and stay there, no matter what happens in your life, no matter what the doctor says, you're covered. You're blessed. So, this is what God said through Moses. You must not turn away from any of the commands I'm giving you today to follow other gods and worship them. But if you refuse to listen to the Lord your God and do not obey all the commands and the laws I'm giving you today, all these curses will come upon you. Every civilization throughout time that turned against God, every civilization, it didn't have to be Israel. Every civilization, the curses hit. The curses hit. Study history. What's that old saying about history? What does it teach us? How little we learn from history. And so as I'm reading through the Bible, I'm going through Deuteronomy, and I'm going through Judges, and I'm going through Kings, and all the parts, the people in there. Oh my gosh, I said, there. And I looked at myself, I was no different. I'm no different than anybody in there. I'm not going to judge what those people did. It did break my heart, lady, how they treated ladies back then, okay? Because you were such a blessing. Marianne, you're such a blessing. Thank you, sweetheart. Okay? But again, I'm saying, oh my goodness gracious, how they treated women. Now, all right, Christopher, I'll just go like this. These are the curses. They're in your pamphlet. I don't have to read them. This is another video, and let's see if this is going to work. Ah, there's a nice picture. I want you to burn this into your heads, everybody. Take a look at that. That's a visual that I made. So, one of those videos will work. God's promise is to God's promised people. We're covered. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and I will say of the Lord, you are my refuge, you are my fortress, my God. And only you will I trust. Surely you will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and the deadly pestilence. You will cover me with your feathers, and under your wings I shall take refuge. Your truth shall be my shield and my buckler. I shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor the destruction lays waste in the noonday. 1,000 shall fall at my side, and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. Now I know that. You know, the word believe is kind of weak. I always say that. Would you believe if you're going to go on a trip to Florida that you're going to land? It's too weak. I know I'm going to land in Florida if I'm going to go on a trip. Knowing is when I drove all the way from Maryland to Delaware, knowing that we're going to get through this tonight. Okay? Regardless of whether these videos do play, the message is clear. God's promises for his promised people. All right. Let's see. All right. Now, take a look. So the video that didn't play, that was King David. It was David going against Goliath. There we go. Abraham's descendants, he had 12 children, correct? Okay. They settled the land that God gave them in Canaan. Chris, can we go back to the map? There we are. There are the 12 tribes. Now, I'm from the tribe of Judah. I'm not sure if you know, but a lot of Christians, it's really, we had a Bible study, and it floored me that our Bible study teacher, this is the end of the year, didn't know this fact. Maybe some of you don't either. Now, I know this because I'm a Jew. I'm 100% Jewish. Now, Alan, I'm sure you probably know this too. There's only 3 tribes left out of all those. Did you know that, Al? There's only 3 tribes. The 3 tribes are Judah, Benjamin, and the Levites. Now, you'll see why in a moment. Nope, it's not going to play. That's all right. So, here are the kings of Israel. Remember the people? They had judges. And each one of those different sections of Israel, the tribes, they had judges. And they said, you know what? Everybody else has a king. We want a king. They didn't want the judges who were getting their information from God. And not all the judges were good. Because I read through it. For those of you who read it, you understand. I want a king. So God said, okay, you'll get a king. The first king was Saul. Now Saul turned out not to be a good king. And God did away with him. He chose David, the young shepherd boy. Now the video that we just missed was David called out to kill Goliath. God called him out. And David had no fear because he knew God was with him. David was obedient. So David was the next king. David was a righteous man. David, as I said, I read through the whole thing. I'm looking at human beings. David had a heart for God. David forgave everybody. You know, King Saul tried to kill him because Saul was jealous that whole time that David was, in his office working with him. You know, he was jealous of David. And David always, always forgave King Saul. And remember when he was chasing him out in the desert and King Saul had to go to the bathroom? David, he didn't know David was in the cave. David could have killed him that day. David went out, when he was going to the bathroom, didn't notice, and cut off a piece of his robe. And David handed it to him. And he said, look, King Saul, he said, I could have killed you. David had the heart. He was a man after God's own heart. Solomon was David's son. Solomon, even though he asked God for wisdom, didn't use wisdom, did he? Okay, he asked for God. He was the smartest man in the world. He's naming all the animals. He's doing all these things. I said he didn't have to go to college. But he didn't apply his wisdom. So let's see if anything else in the videos are going to work. So Solomon, he had a son, Jeroboam, and this is after he died, and Rehoboam, and they divided the kingdom. Okay, they didn't follow God. All right, go ahead, Chris. And the kingdom was divided into the northern part, and out of the 12 tribes, those were 10, and Judah, the Levites were in charge of the temple. So it was the Benjaminites, the Levites, and from Judah. Those are the two parts. In the year 721 BC, the 10 northern tribes of Israel were destroyed by the Assyrians, and its people were taken captive in foreign lands, never again to return to the land promised by God. How come? Because they didn't believe God's promises. They worshipped idols. Now, I worshipped idols a lot of my life. You know, an idol can be your car. I mean, whatever your idol is, I mean, you've probably all sat down. I could tell you what my idols were, me, okay? Growing up, it was me. I called it the gospel of me now, okay? Everybody, you can look back. What do you put in front of God? What is your idol? And they worshiped idols. So God said, enough is enough. And he destroyed all those northern, all the northern tribes. They were scattered to the wind. They're gone. Now, the good news is they're still on earth today. God knows who their descendants are. And I'm going to tie this in at the very end of this, okay, because God's going to bring them all back. And some of you sitting here today may be one of those descendants. I know I am. Okay, I'm from Judah. Okay. So, Nebuchadnezzar, as you know, went in and destroyed the temple and took the southern tribes of Judah, Benjaminites, and the Levites captive. They were captive for how many years? Anybody remember that? 70 years. They were 70 years in captivity. Okay? Next is God's promises. This is the second part. The Hebrew feast. God's true holy days. Let's see if anything works. Okay, so here's the calendar. The calendar is like a circle, as you can see. Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and weeks, Pentecost, they're in the spring. That's what the Jews have been celebrating ever since Moses, every single year in the springtime. The fall feasts start today. Today we blew the trumpets. Today is Rosh Hashanah. Today begins the fall feast. Now, I'll tie that in at the end. The next feast is the Day of Atonement. That's coming up in 10 days. And then we have the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot. Now, Passover. This is a spring feast. Here's one thing that people don't realize. God always keeps his promises. Every one of the spring feasts have been fulfilled to the day. To the day, from the time of Moses, to the day. Behold the Lamb of God. Good, Chris. This is the Lamb of God. See, the death angel, if you remember the story with Charlton Heston, and the death angel went in, and they were told that the firstborn of Egypt, and also all firstborn, will die. But if you put the blood of the Lamb across your doorpost, and by the way, did you know that they had to keep the lambs in their house for 1 week and become part of their family? And they had a relationship with that lamb? How many of you have little pets? Anybody here? Is that part of your family? Isn't it hard? We had pets. Marianne and I had 4 chickens. We did. I love my chickens. Anybody have chickens? Our chickens, our last 2, were just killed about a month ago, Marianne, by raccoons. It broke my heart because I could see their little eyes. I mean, I pick them up. They jump on my lap. Just like you become used to pets. You couldn't hurt them. They were called to take that pet that they loved and take that pet, cut its throat, and put the blood on the doorpost. And this has been going on all these years. Jesus is the Lamb of God. His blood covers me and covers all of you. Every single day when I get up, my wife and I go before the cross, and we pray the blood over us before we start a day. Jesus provided that blood for all of us, an atonement, a final atonement, who takes away the sins of the world. Now, matzah. Matzah, there's another little feast in there. They take the unleavened bread. Unleavened doesn't have yeast in it. And yeast represents sin. So they were called to make bread that had no yeast, no sin. These are all representations of something that would happen in the future. So matzah, by his stripes we are healed. How many of you have been healed in this room without a doctor? Because we stood on that verse, did we not? Okay? It says matzah itself is designated to represent Jesus. It is striped and pierced. That's what it should look like. As prophesied in Isaiah 53:8, by Jesus' stripes, we are healed. Now, not all the times it's miraculous. Sometimes it's a doctor. I've had cancer. It's gone. I've had high blood pressure. It's gone. You guys went into a 40-day feast. I just ended mine fast. Feast fast. A little bit. I just ended mine today. Now, it wasn't the same. I asked Alan how much weight did he lose. Okay? So, again, by his stripes we were healed. I'm not sure if the next video plays, but if it does, you better close your eyes. Go ahead. Close your eyes. Can you imagine the creator of our universe submitted himself to this? This is an act of love. By Jesus' stripes, every one of those 39 stripes, all the illnesses, everything that plagues mankind, he took on his back out of an act of love. According to the Jewish calendar, the first three holy days are called the former rains, the year's first harvest. The year's first harvest. Go ahead. The former rain feasts were fulfilled with Yeshua's first coming on the exact date, on the exact time. Now, I have videos on here which would show you everything that happened on the day that Jesus was sacrificed happened exactly the way they did this when they celebrate. The exact time. He met the requirements. All of them. The next holy days are called the latter days. The latter rains. The year's final harvest. Starting today. Today, thank you for having me, by the way. Okay? I hope, as a teacher, I'm keeping you interested in this. Okay? Even though some of these videos aren't working, this is what we live and breathe. Today is the day. It is Rosh Hashanah. Now I'm going to show you what that is for us. Okay? There's a fall harvest. You know when it's fall. It's coming up, isn't it? After all this rain stops, they're going to be harvesting. They're going to roll up all the hay barrels. They're going to look like this. We know it's fall. Okay, we know it's fall right now on the calendar. This is the prophetic calendar. And the ingathering of the final harvest. This is it. I believe that, guys, we're it. Now, I'm not Barbara. I know what my gifts are. We all have gifts. It tells you in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 12, that the church has been given, each one of you. Now, if Barbara's not around and I need to hear from God, he'll answer me then, whether he uses my wife, but I've had to depend without Barbara or anybody else there to hear from God. Now, haven't you? See, we all have the gifts. The gifts that God gave me after all these years, I realize, is communicative. It's taking the whole Bible, and that's what we're doing tonight. We're going through the whole Bible right now and presenting this. Now, this is the final one, the ingathering harvest. All of you have the same heart I have. I want everyone I know there. I want everyone I know there. I'm pretty sure you're going to be with me. The people that are still here, that I've been praying for, that you all have been praying for. That's our goal, is it not? Amen. All right. The Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur means atonement. This shall be a permanent statute to you. On the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall humble your souls and do not work. For it is on this day that atonement shall be made for you to cleanse you. You will be clean from all of your sins before the Lord. Now, I got to tell you something. This is for Israel. This is one of their feasts. We are cleansed. It happened back 2,000 years ago on the cross. This hasn't happened yet. This day will happen in the future, and I'll show you in a moment. The Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, during the year the high priest was ordained. Okay. In garments of gold and precious stones. On the Day of Atonement, the high priest would wear a white garment, a tunic, a belt, a turban, and pants. This signified that the high priest came before God. This is what he looked like. So go ahead, click the screen one time and see if there he goes. That's what he looked like. Once a year, he would dress in these garments. He would go into the Holy of Holies. He did not come out Okay, in the gold and the riches, but pure white. Furthermore, the white is colored for forgiveness. And forgiveness is what the high priest is seeking for himself and Israel. They did this once a year. They did this in the temple. The temple that was built first by Solomon. Moreover, he shall take some of the blood of a bull and sprinkle it with his fingers on the mercy seat on the east side. Also in the front of the mercy seat shall he sprinkle some of the blood with his fingers seven times. Then he shall slaughter a goat of the sin offering, which is for the people, and bring his blood inside the veil and do this. Now, let's pretend this is the veil. Only the high priest could go up here into the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of Covenant was, and put it on the mercy seat. He was the only one that could do that. The only high priest that can do that for us, and has already done it for us, is Jesus. He's done that. But this is what was done once a year in Israel. This represented what will happen in the future. This is a future event. All right, Chris. Then he would go make atonement in the holy place. No one shall be in the tent of the meeting until he comes out. He shall make atonement for himself and for his household and all the assembly of Israel. He shall go to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it. And it shall take some of the blood of the bull and the blood of a goat, and put it on the horns of the altar. Now, one of the videos that I have at the end, and if it doesn't play, I'll tell you exactly. I just found it. Oh, my gosh. This just happened. All right, Chris. This is it, guys. This is Jesus' return. This is the promises that are in the Bible. Again, promises. These are promises. All the first four feasts, they've been made. Jesus came. It's over with. Now, the next three is his return. Daniel 9:24. 70 weeks. Now, a prophetic week is 7 years. The number seven is perfection, as you all know. The number seven. God created the earth in 6 days. The seventh day he rested. His number is seven. That's a perfect number. 70 weeks, 70 times seven, are determined for your people and your holy city to finish sin, transgression, to make an end to all the sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Not 490 years. This adds up to 400. If you've not been taught this before, which I'm sure most of you have, this is math. I was really bad at math, but this makes sense to me. 490 years. Now, when did this start? When was this prophecy made? What was the starting date? That's the next slide. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until the Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. That's 483 years. The streets shall be built again and the wall even in perilous times. Now, take a look at the pictures I just put up there today. The order was given during the book of Nehemiah. The temple was destroyed by the Babylonians. Nehemiah went to the king of Persia. He was the cupbearer. And he asked him a favor. He had a good relationship with the king. For those of you who read this, I just read this 2 days ago. He asked, "Can I go back home? The temple was destroyed." He said, I need to get some help and build it." King went, "Okay, go." He did. It gave him favor. He went back, and the people that were living there, okay, they were a mess, a big mess. But he organized all the people. He told the women also, and the book of Ezra goes right along with it. Ezra was the prophet. Ezra also went along with him. He said, "First of all, men, the women that you took that were not from the descendants of Abraham, you got to get rid of them. They're unclean." That was hard. But they listened. They put the walls back up. They rebuilt the walls. They rebuilt the temple called Zerubbabel's temple. Correct? Now, when that order was given to go back and rebuild the temple and the walls, if you take that date and you add that 483 years onto that date, that's the math that we're doing. It comes up to a cool number. So let's go to Daniel 9:26, Chris. It says, then after 62 weeks, the Messiah shall be killed, but not for himself. And the people of the prince shall come and destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end will come like a flood, with the war and desolation until the very end. Jesus was killed. Now this is Daniel. Daniel lived about 500 years before Jesus. So listen, read what it says. It's right up there. The time. So those 62 weeks, the Messiah would be killed. But not for himself. He died for all of us. And the people of the prince shall come. Who came? Remember your history books? Who destroyed the city? Which group of people? The Romans. The Romans. The Romans had that entire area. They destroyed the temple. The temple that was first built by Solomon was destroyed by the Babylonians. The second temple that was put up by Nehemiah and the people. And then we had Herod come in, and Herod had some money, so I'm going to fix this place up. So he really fixed it up. I mean, that was a mansion, right? That's when Jesus, all destroyed. The Messiah will be killed without being accepted. That was in 33 A.D. Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 A.D. Destroyed. Temple destroyed. Okay? God's prophetic timetable. So let's again do the math. Daniel's 69 weeks. From 445 B.C., when the order was given to rebuild the temple, you add the 483 years. Okay, again, one prophetic year is 7 years. Go ahead, Chris. And that time period, the 69 times 7, would take us right until the cross. Exactly. Exactly. When Jesus died, he said, I'm going to leave you a helper. You know, the disciples had no idea what he was talking about. And he said, when he comes, okay, you will do greater things than I have done. And they didn't understand what that meant either. Okay, so the Feast of Weeks, which is called Pentecost, is when the day of Pentecost has fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven as a rushing wind, and it filled the whole house that they were sitting. And then appeared to them divine tongues of fire. One sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they're dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitudes came together and were confused because everyone they heard was speaking their own language. Now, again, everybody in here has the Holy Spirit. You all have different gifts. Now, you know yourself. You've lived in your bodies. Now, those of you young are learning who you are. But you have gifts from the Holy Spirit. And again, this is a functional church. You use them. You listen to a pastor who can preach and prophesize with those gifts. All of you know that. But this world doesn't. Especially the church. The devil's gotten in big time. Right? Okay, so. Go ahead, Chris. Click that. Acts 2. The day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out, and the church began. The church age began. Now, remember, it's 490 years. There's a missing 7 years there somewhere, right? So that 7 years has been put on hold for a while. It's the church age. It's still the church age. We're still in that church age right now. When the Holy Spirit comes, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. This church just received a prophecy from Pastor Barbara. This morning at our church, we had Randy and Barbara Walters. The second song we sang, and I asked Marianne, write it down, I'll play that tonight. But it was about the angels are singing in church. The angels were singing in church. And then we joined in. And then it finally hit me after reading what you read. I'm looking. I want to see them. I want to see them. I really do, Barbara. I want to see them. Now, do I believe in angels? There's a story, I think, in your book, and I'm not sure if you got it, but it's about this Star David. This Star David, remember when I told you about we went to Messiah College, my wife and myself? Well, I'm Jewish. I'm 100% Jewish, and I don't wear jewelry. So Cindy bought me this. I never wore it. When Cindy died, I found it on top of the refrigerator. I said, you know what? I'm going to wear this Star of David. Every morning, I would put my keys and my Star David and everything in one place because I lose things. That's how I am. And one morning, I went to get my keys. I'm going to work. My Star David wasn't there. I said, I'll find it when I get home. I don't have time to look for that. When I got home, I went through my entire house. The story, I think, is in your book. It's at the end. I put it there. I couldn't find it. Then I asked a next-door neighbor of mine named Mary Ann, my wife, if she'd come over, because sometimes if you can't find something, somebody else has other eyes and they see things. She couldn't find it either. Called my daughter, said, Renee, Daddy lost his Star David, the one that has the dove in the center for Messianic Jew. I said, can you find one on the internet? A week went by. I burnt my mother a video, and I was going to send it to her. And I went into my office to get her DVD. This is a week later. And I bent down to get the DVD, and there, in front of the keyboard where I was typing all week long, right in front of the keyboard, this little Star of David, you couldn't see the gold chain because it was so tightly wound it was underneath. And I picked it up and I started kissing it. I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I was crying. See, I was alone. I was married for 37 and a half years. The hardest thing is to live by yourself. You understand that. But I didn't have any relatives. I didn't have any grandchildren with me. It was by myself. The hardest thing for me to do after my wife dies, go home to an empty house. That was June 14th. June 14th, 1972, Cindy and I got married. It was our wedding anniversary. God let me know that I'm not alone. That angel picked this thing up. That angel knew exactly where to put it and why I would find it. I am not alone. See, guys, when you're singing those songs, and it hit me this morning, I start, even though I didn't see them, I start thanking my angel. I said, because we're assigned angels. It tells you in Romans chapter 1 that angels are assigned to those who are heirs unto salvation. Doesn't mean everybody gets one. That means that God knows who's heir. You all have one. This room is filled. And there, and you will see them. That's what Barbara, I know Barbara said that. You're going to see it, okay? So again, the church was born. All right, Chris. So, the day of Pentecost, the church age, 30 AD. Now, here's the big one. They're missing 7 years, and then we're going to end. We're going to figure out when does that thing happen. I think I can tell you. Barbara will tell you if I'm telling you. She knows. She discerns. Now, Daniel 9:27. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, for 7 years. A prophetic year is 7 years. He will confirm. That means he didn't make it up. He's going to agree with. He's going to confirm. In the middle of the week, the 3.5 years, he will put an end to the sacrifice. And the temple, and in the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end, which God has prepared for him. Ever since the Bible is written, ever since Abraham made that covenant with God, the devil has done everything he can to destroy the Jews. Israel and the Jews. I mean, the book of Esther. I told Marianne this morning when I video clipped Esther. You're not going to see it tonight, but anyhow. I said, if it wasn't for Esther, I wouldn't be here. It hit me. If she didn't do that, she didn't know if she's going to live or die when she went up to the king. That was an act of faith. I wouldn't be here. He killed most of my relatives. My relatives came from Poland. They came before World War II started. All the ones that stayed are no longer here. The devil's goal is to destroy Israel. I mean, look at the news. I don't have to tell you, correct? Now, that 7 years has not started yet. It starts, and I'll show you right now. Go ahead. The Antichrist will sign a treaty with the world leaders to bring peace to the Middle East. This will start Daniel's 70th week. I'm not sure if you've been reading this or following the news, but at the latter part of this month, President Trump is going to present a peace treaty. His team, he has 5 people working on the team. One is his son-in-law, has been working behind the scenes to get the Arabs and the Jews to agree to give back the land that God promised. To Abraham's descendant. That's God's land. That's God's land. That's nobody. That's God's promise to the people he gave it to. We cannot do that. I don't care who you support. I'm not a political person. But if that treaty comes out and they cause Israel to give back any of that land, that's not from God. Okay. The calendar begins with Passover, ends in Tabernacles. Today is Rosh Hashanah. Rosh means head. Shana means of years. Today's the first day of the Jewish year. Today's the first day. It's New Year's. Okay, that's how they celebrate it. For Jews, Rosh Hashanah is the first day of the New Year's. The shofar is blown. We heard it tonight. Go ahead. On this day, the ram's horn, or the shofar, called the people to prepare for the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement is when the high priest would go into the temple, take the blood, and put it on the mercy seat for the sins of Israel. Once a year, he did that. On that day or hour, no man knows but the Father only. This expression was used by a Jewish groom when he was asked when his wedding will be. He said that his final details is left up to the Father to tell him when the preparations on the bridal chamber are completed. Again, the Jewish wedding is symbolic of the timing of Daniel's 70th week. Did you all know that? Because most people don't. See, the thing is this. The date setters out there, you know, I'm watching the events like all of you. I want to see Jesus come back like all of you. I don't know if this is it. Even with the giant hurricane aimed right at America, even with that peace treaty that they're talking about, I can't tell you. Even though Russia and Iran and Turkey and all the players in Ezekiel 38 are right there, even though Israel was brought back after 2,000 years of dispersion, even though all this is happening, I can't tell you if this is the year, this Rosh Hashanah, or next. I can't, and I won't. But I will tell you what's going to happen when it is. Go ahead, Chris. Right now, Marianne and I were in Israel a few years ago. I have never felt so much peace in my life. How many of you have been to Israel? Have you felt the same thing? I want you to know why. Take a look at the picture. I just put that together. Now, some of you have the ability to see into the supernatural. Barbara today, I sat with her. This is Barbara Walters. She saw an angel. She described her angel to me. Really cool. I've not seen one. I've seen a demon. Says a Jew needs a sign. Woke me up. I know the supernatural's there. Okay? But I've not seen... we see pictures of angels. But I do know this. Around the entire perimeter of that country, God has assigned Michael and the heavenly host. And there is nothing anybody can do. You think about, you study the history of Israel since 48, what happened there? You can't explain that. Every single time, they don't even explain it. Well, we know, but God put Michael and the heavenly host around that. Look, isn't that something? There's a little visual. Next one, Chris. Now, that's coming. That's in the Bible. God will tell Michael. Next slide, Chris. At that time, Michael shall stand aside, the great prince who stands for the children of thy people. Now, by the way, most of your Bibles are wrong. I found this out. I didn't know that. I used to have problems with the English in the Bible, the translation. One of the verses, which is my favorite verse, you all have a favorite verse, Psalm 37:23. It says, the steps of a good person. You look, open your Bible if you got a King James, are ordered by the Lord. I'm thinking, what everybody thinks they're good? Steps of a good person are ordered by the Lord? No. I looked at the Hebrew. The word Marianne is Geber. Marianne says, we're going to name, because there's a storm coming and I don't want to make trees, we're going to name our gate. What did you say the name? The gate of Geber? Geber. Geber is warrior, righteous. That's what it says. The steps of a righteous person or a warrior that listens and reads the word of God are ordered by the Lord. Every morning we go before the cross and we repent. That means where I go, who we meet, everything. God ordered my steps. God ordered your steps here tonight to hear this message. God ordered you to come to this church and have this woman, this dedicated person, to be, have the honor of having her as your pastor. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered. Every one shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and lasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, as bright as the sunniest day, you'll shine. You'll shine. Now, how do you shine? Go out in the world. You're a light. All of you, children, every one of you, we're to shine. Amen? But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. To the time of the end, many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall increase. Has knowledge not increased? Okay, Google, how do we get here? How does she know that? Get in the next two lanes. I said, how does she know? I mean, it's bouncing off a satellite. Oh, my gosh. Those of you my age, remember Dick Tracy? I didn't think that would happen, right, Barbara? He talked into his phone. That's obsolete today. Knowledge has increased, has it not? But wisdom has not. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly. Are not the wicked doing wickedly? I've never seen so much division in my life. I've never seen anything like it, and you haven't either, have you? Just wait. But the wise shall understand. Now, here we go. We're almost done. So, when does this begin? Daniel 70 week on Rosh Hashanah tonight. Not this. I can't tell you if it's this Rosh Hashanah. I can't. Yeah, I've been watching this one. Marianne knows. I see. Well, I look at that hurricane coming, man. That hurricane's going to hit. Where's it going to hit? I don't know. It was going to affect us. I don't know. Marianne's son's a meteorologist. He has plans to be at the beach next week. He still didn't cancel his plans. I'm watching him. Okay? I'm watching him. That peace treaty, are they going to pass that? I don't know. We'll watch, right? We're waiting. And it ends with the Feast of Tabernacles on Sukkot, with Jesus' second coming. The last three feasts are yet to come. Good, Chris. So, Rosh Hashanah. Here's what happens. Okay, this is the six seals. Y'all read that book? Okay, here we go. I just summed it up for you. All right, signing of a peace treaty. You got war, famine, pestilence, Okay. Book of Revelation, chapter 6, up on the screen. Cosmic destruction, great earth. Now, I want to hit something that I'm not sure if anybody ever taught you. I'm a teacher. Here I am. Everybody look at the last word up there. I'm looking at God's wrath commences. Didn't start, guys, with the beginning of Daniel's 70th week. It starts right there. It says that. Open your Bibles. You don't believe me? I'm only telling you what your Bible says. The last sentence in Revelation chapter 6, God's wrath. What is God's wrath? God's slow to anger. It's his anger. That's when it happens. It tells you in... Go ahead, Chris. Let's go back. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. It won't happen when you're here. You're not appointed to wrath. Not the wrath of God. You understand? So, Revelation chapter 7, it starts with the sealing of the 144,000. 12,000 from every tribe. Well, wait a minute, there's only three tribes. That's right. I'm asking God if I could stay. I love my wife, but I'm asking God that I stay. Why? Because I don't fear anything. I only fear the Lord. I'm from Judah. Doesn't mean I'm going to stay, but I just feel that maybe he'll let me stay. Some of you might be from those missing tribes. They're going to be sealed. Their job is the last 3.5 years. I believe they get a heavenly body so they don't have to wear that anymore. Okay? I believe those people, yes, the rapture does occur. Okay, how do I know that? Because it says it right there. John has been in heaven now since chapter 4, correct? This is Revelation. He saw everything, the elders. He saw the throne room. He saw the glass sea. He saw the Lamb come in. The Lamb was Jesus. Jesus opened up the seals. He saw all that. What he didn't see were people. When does he see the people? Open your Bibles. Revelation chapter 7. The 144,000 are sealed. And then John's standing by the elder, and the elder looks at him and says, who are those people? I'm paraphrasing. It's right there. I'm not taking this out of context. The elder says, who are these? And John looks at him and says, wait a minute. You live here. Elder says, these are the ones that came through the great tribulation. Tribulation is not wrath. This is what the people go through. Okay? Have you gone through tribulation in your life? There are people going right now, people in Syria. I mean, the things that we read about in the news, we blank out. I don't want to think about negative stuff like that. We live in America. No. Tribulation is going to happen all the time. I've gone through ups and downs in my life, but nothing compared to what's going to be happening. See, I'm not going to go into the mark of the beast or any of that stuff. But one thing I will tell you, and I told Marianne, and this is the truth. You trust God. What did God do when the Jews were in the desert? There was no food. It was all dry. How did they eat? How did they drink? God supplied it. We are not to worry. Not to worry. Well, we worry about everything, don't we? I don't. Not me. I got my fishing lures, and I'm going to get myself a kayak, you know, whatever. I don't worry. God will supply. All right? Now, there's the great tribulation. That's God's wrath. Look at all that stuff that happens, okay? I'm not going to read that stuff. You know that. Trumpets and bowls. Go ahead, Chris. We're almost done. Now, the second coming. This is the end of the book. But there's parts here that you don't know because we didn't tie in the last two feasts yet. All right, Chris? Yom Kippur means the Day of Atonement. There should be a permanent statue for you. On the seventh month, on the tenth day, you shall humble your souls and do no work. For this, it is on this day that atonement shall be made for you to cleanse you. The Jews who do not believe in Jesus. Right now in Israel, the majority of my descendants do not even believe in God. I asked my grandma when she was alive. Grandma, she always brought God up because she was conditioned. See, guys, I was never brought up in religion. I'm 100% Jewish, but my parents divorced when I was a little boy. And I didn't grow up with any religion. I'm out of the box. I'm looking at in the box, and I studied the box, but I'm not in a box, okay? But they look in a box. Okay, so again, they're going to be cleansed. Go ahead. I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. And they shall look upon me, the one they pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for the only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for the firstborn. On that day, all Israel, Abraham's descendants, shall be saved. This is the promise that God has made from the beginning of time. All of those missing tribes, they're all over the world. The 144,000 that go out, and I'm one of them, Christians are gone by now. This is our job. Bring them back. Bring them back, because when you all come back to Mount Zion with Jesus, I'll be waiting for you. That's my goal. Sukkoth, my tabernacle shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and righteousness. For this covenant that I made will make the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their heart and their mind, and write them in their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. All of Israel shall be saved. God keeps his promises from beginning to end. And even though all those great videos I sat for hours putting together didn't work, the message did. Do you understand that this day, Rosh Hashanah, okay, which is in the fall feast, begins Daniel 7? Is it this one? I don't know. Is it next one? I don't know. It's close. God's time clock is Israel. The promise he made. When you see all the nations of the world rising up against my descendants, okay, and it's going to happen. It could happen any time. As I said, that's the time clock. T-minus 7 years and counting. And we're here to serve God. We're here to trust God. No matter what happens during that time, God will supply all of your needs. Correct? You have total peace on that one? Praise God. All right, Chris, let's see if there's anything else. Now, this is good. I know when Jesus is coming back. I know. He said it. Matthew 23:34-39. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the ones who killed the prophets and stoned those who were sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, Your house shall be left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall not see me no more until you cry out, Baruch atah B'shem Adonai. At that time, when Israel cries out to God because it looks like no hope, they will cry out, Baruch atah B'shem Adonai. And Jesus will return. And he will save all of Israel. And he will keep his covenant with Abraham. Baruch atah B'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes. Baruch haba B'shem Adonai. Blessed is the King who shall come. And I end with that. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I praise and thank you, Lord, that we are your temples. Father, when Jesus came and he shed his blood on us and the Holy Spirit entered us, we no longer need a temple to go. We no longer need a man who's a high priest. We go right to you every single day when we wake up and we repent of our sins. And we thank you, Father, that the Holy Spirit will guide us, Father, no matter what's going to happen in the future. Father, we trust you, which we do with all our hearts. You will speak clearly to us. Your word that you gave us from the beginning of your word to the end, we trust your promises never, ever go bad. They are always from everlasting to everlasting. Father, I praise and thank you, first of all, that everybody here is my family. Everybody in this room will be with me forever. Our prayer goes up now for family members that have not made you their Lord and Savior. Praise and thank you, Father, that our prayers will be answered. Folks, you can all stand here and give me testimonies of how people that you've prayed for that look hopeless are in heaven today, correct? Every one of you. Hopeless situations. My brother was a mess. Marianne knows this. My brother I prayed for every day, every single day. 2 weeks before my brother died, I wanted him to go to a church just like this in Pennsylvania. The pastors are young people like yourself. They've been in for a long time. I got a phone call from my brother, and he said, Neil, I've been waiting outside the church, but nobody was there. I left. I said, what time did you leave, Dave? He said, 10 o'clock. I said, Dave, they start 10:15. I didn't know this, but the next week, he was there at 10:15. He sat with my mother-in-law, Cindy's mother, and listened to Mel's message. The next week, I get a phone call. David was dying, and Marianne and I could not get to the hospital in time to be with my brother. So I called the pastor of that church, Mel Hillman. And I said, Mel, he had a party at his house. Can you pray for David and pray that my brother gets saved? Somebody. Anyhow, I didn't know this. Mel left his party. He left the people there. He went to the hospital. The last person my brother saw and the last words that my brother heard were from Mel's lips. David, Jesus loves you. He wants you to love him back. My brother accepted Jesus. One last story. A friend of mine went to our church many years. His wife would not go. We prayed for Jean, but she didn't want to hear it. You have people like that? So anyhow, I'm grading papers in Annapolis High School in the corner, and I knew Jean was dying in the hospital. She was dying. And all of a sudden, I was prompted by the Holy Spirit, go pray for Jean. I called Alden up. Marianne knows the story. I said, Alden, I feel God wants me to go pray for your wife. But Neil, she's in a coma. I said, I don't care. I said, I really feel God needs me to pray over your wife. I went to the hospital. I asked where her room was. Would it be okay if I go in? I went in. She's in bed. Her eyes are closed. I said, Jean? She opened her eyes. I said, wow. I said, Jean, do you know who I am? Neil Russell. I said, wow. I said, Jean, I'll cut to the chase. I said, you know, everybody's been praying for you and telling you how much God loves you. Are you ready to tell God how much you love him? Yes. I said, wow. Are you ready to make Jesus your Lord and Savior and repent of your sins? Yes. Wow. We did. I left there. She was singing praise songs. She was praising from her heart, just like I showed you up here. This is what God looks at. Now what we say, the heart. I shared this at her funeral. Guys, this is what we're here for. God's promises are from everlasting to everlasting. Even though the videos didn't work, I don't think I needed them tonight. I think the message was clear. We're at the end. Okay, we are again called by God to go out into the world and deliver this message to everyone that God loves him. Amen? Barbara, I forgot. The video that you couldn't see, I just saw and she just saw. Here's what they've been trying to do. There's a temple society in Israel. It's in the Antiquity Society. We met them. We went there. They have all the increments for the new temple. They have all of them. They're all ready. What they've been waiting for is a red heifer. They've been trying to breed this thing, and it hasn't worked. As of this week, in the video that I have, a pure red baby heifer was born for the first time. Now, is that a sign? It is. You saw that, did you not? So, yes, the temple's ready to go up. The order will be given. When the peace treaty's signed, I'm telling you, they're going to give an order. I know where they're going to build it. I've seen all that stuff. I've been in Israel. So we're at that point. T-minus 7 years and counting this year? I don't know. We'll find out. I hope so. Okay? Everything you've heard from Barbara, the book that she just produced, all the words in there are prophetic. There's only certain people. I don't trust everybody. I do trust you. Somebody that God has placed on earth for this time is Barbara Lynch. Barbara's gone through the trials also that we've all gone through. She stayed faithful. She's heard, and you all hear, that we're there. Well, praise God. Then we'll close in prayer. I'm sorry I took so long tonight.
Father, we truly do thank you for your son. We thank you for the message he brought tonight because it's right on time in the perfect season. I thank you, Father God, for the anointing that I felt flowing from him through the entire service. And now, Father, I'm just asking that as Neil lays hands on the people, that the wisdom that you have bestowed upon him and his wife will be transferred to the people so they can leave here with more wisdom than they came. And they will be vessels of honor that you can use in this end time hour. And we thank you for your son, Jesus, your Holy Spirit, and your angelic hosts that are with us continually. In Jesus' name we pray.
Praise God.
So at this time, Neil, I would really like for you to pray for the people because that's what you and your wife, that's what God wants you to do.
Thank you, Jesus.